Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together one more time. Tell somebody you are lucky to get the first and the best parts. I want to welcome you to the Leaders in Loyalty Conference, starting today and running till Friday. And this conference is actually targeted at church workers and serious Christians, because they are the ones who have a reason to, or have a motivation for the church to grow. And if you are here this morning, I believe that you have such a heart. May it come to pass. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. Leaders and Loyalty Conference is started by our prophet, Bishop Dag, as a way and a means of equipping the church to be more stable. This is actually a church growth conference. Amen. It is actually a church growth conference. And church growth is a very complicated thing. One of the qualities that make a church grow is this, that there's a good leader who has a loyal team around him. And if you're here this morning, that is the foundation we are planting here, a good leader with a loyal team. Amen. So tell somebody by you that I think that you are a good leader. I think that you are good. Just by being here, I'm optimistic that you're a good leader. And may you have loyal people around you. Amen. Well, we are starting. Waiting, I have learned that waiting for people can be very frustrating. You wait. Have you gone to a wedding before when you wanted to leave? As you were leaving, the bride was coming. It shall not be our story here. So we are starting. And this morning, I want us to have a basic understanding of why, in the first place, we need loyalty. Why at all is this subject necessary for us church leaders? Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this, that your body will be built up and become strong and established on this earth. I pray that, Lord, as we are here, let everything that we do be done in accordance with your purposes and your name. Holy Spirit, speak to everyone here. Let every church, every congregation, every assembly be established. And let these be the beginning steps of much, much, much growth. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have a foundational scripture that will be running through, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Moreover, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. How many here have ever said, I am bad before? Rarely do we say we are bad. How many said, I'm good? How many have said it before? I'm not too bad. I'm okay. So you are in the scripture. Every man will proclaim, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We underplay our evil side, negative sides. But look at this one. But a faithful man who can find. And so that gives us an idea that faithful people, they are not very many. They are not very many. So what we are dealing with are finding the few faithful people who are in our environment and working with them. If there were many faithful people, I believe that church growth would be much easier than what we are getting. But the faithful people, they are few. And so the wise man asks, a faithful man, who can find? This morning, I want you to be that faithful man. Amen. Most of the things that we'll be saying, they are in their books. There's a book table out there, and most of what we are saying will be in their books. So that, listen carefully, make some few notes, but determine to get these books afterwards. There is no way that we can attempt to exhaust a book. There is no way we can even go through most of the things in the book. We will just be touching on them a bit at a time. And so what we are doing actually is opening the books to you to know how the books, how to read the books and understand what they are saying. And after that, when you pick up the book, it will be easy for you. Most books, you need to have a guide. That's why we have study guides. And that is what we are doing this morning. It's a study guide into the books that our Father has written. And these books are aimed at helping us to better understand the subject and to see where it takes us. And so this morning I'm asking, why do we need at all to study loyalty? This is what the prophet says. Why teach on the subject loyalty and disloyalty? I believe the Lord has laid on my heart this practical subject for various reasons. First of all, I have seen the relevance of this subject in the Word of God. The scriptures are littered with accounts of faithful and unfaithful or treacherous people. There is a lot to learn from these accounts in the Bible. That is what our prophet gives us as an introduction, that it is not simply a very good practical strategy for church growth. It is a doctrine, it is a fact in the Bible which is geared towards church growth. And so I want us to look at why loyalty is important. And this morning, seven reasons why it is so. Seven reasons. Okay? Reason number one is that it is the most important qualification. It is by far the most important qualification. Many, many people, church founders, leaders of any organization or whatever your business you are doing, we always need people to be with us. Man is not a loner. Man is always working in groups and in teams. No matter how skilled you are not able to be alone. I mean, if you go, listen, I know Black Stars broke our hearts. I mean, they really, really, they were last but one in this recent African competition. Black Stars, they didn't do well. But if you bring 11 Black Stars, this heartbreaking Black Stars team, and you bring this 11, and then bring one Ronaldo, or one Messi, or one Mbappe. Against our 11 Black Stars, who will win? Our 11 Black Stars, who disappointed us so badly? No, you see, even if you pick 11 boys from Bantama and you play them against one superstar, he has no chance. He has no chance. No matter how good you are as an individual, there is no way you can excel beyond a group of people. I mean, imagine and recognize that Jesus, when he came, God, I mean, he walked on water, raised the dead, fed 5,000, stilled the storm. What didn't he do? He did everything wild and unbelievable. Yet still, when he came, first thing he did was find helpers. The first thing he did, walking by the seaside, find helpers. Peter, James, John, follow me. That's what he did. And so one of the greatest, most important roles you must play as a pastor, as a leader, is that you must have helpers. Write it down. I cannot do this alone. Just, I'm giving you free. This one, I won't charge you no registration fee for this one. Write it down, capital. I cannot do this work alone. It's not, I mean, forget it. Rather, go and try and do Galamse alone. It's easier. Or go and try and start a world project. It's easier. But this work we are doing of building the church of God, it is not possible that you can do it alone. Those of you who are there, maybe if you come, hello, if you come and join us here, we are starting with more action and more happiness in our corner. Maybe, yes. Then I can also be happy to be in this corner here. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need helpers. You need people to join and be with you. Now, what quality, as you go out looking for helpers, what quality are you going to look for? How many here are married? When you are going to look for a wife, what quality were you looking for? As you are going out to start and the whole journey of marrying, I don't think beauty was number one on your plan. Was it number one? If it was, let's pray for you right now and ask God to deliver you. You have escaped a very narrow thing. I don't think beauty was, beauty is not at all, I don't think education is the main thing you were looking for. Was it the main thing you're looking for? Or was it tribe? If it's tribe, you two come and let's pray for you also. You know, people look for marriage partners, but some qualities should not be the driving quality. Amen. Something else, there should be a, what does David's guy say? A knitting of our hearts. A knitting of our hearts. But this is important. Do you know why this is so important? Because we, as, what does 1 Samuel 16 say? 1 Samuel 16, chapter 5, verse 5. When, and he said, peaceably, this is Samuel going to Jesse's house to anoint one of them as king after Saul misbehaved and did all he did. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his... Do you have a modern translation? Look not on his appearance. What does... on his? Don't judge by his appearance or height. I don't think short people like this scripture. But it's okay. I will not mind them here. Don't judge by his appearance or his height. For I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks on their heart. Please tell your neighbor, you are a people. You are a people. So by default, by your nature, by how you have been brought up to live in this world, we judge by our eyes. Many people going to buy a second-hand car, they start looking at their car from the outside, look at their tires. Look, a second-hand car, tell somebody, close your eyes. Start the engine and listen. You don't buy a second-hand car with your eyes. Otherwise, they just paint it nicely and sell it to you. And then you're going to buy trouble. The car will start, go home, then it will start again. And you have bought a bill. Our man judges by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on their hearts. And so this morning, one of the most important elements you need to have, how many here are pastors of churches or leaders? Can I say yes? By far, the most important quality you need to look for in your assistant is loyalty. By far. Sometimes we are impressed by education. You know, when the guy starts to speak very good English, he says, oh, he's good. I mean, he's a good man. He's honest. He's, hey, the worst criminals, they wear tie. Yeah. Or am I not saying that thing well? The thief at these areas, how much can they steal? One TV, one laptop, and your phone. The phone is how many thousand? It's second-hand phone anyway. So the phone is about 3,000. The TV is 2,000 or 4,000. And then the laptop is, call it 4,000. All is 10,000. Look under somebody's bed. Yeah, who's wearing a tie. Look under their bed. Look in their wardrobe. You see bags of money. 10,000 is nothing compared to what they are. So you see, education doesn't make a person nice. So, I mean, sometimes you are deceived by appearance. When they come, wear a nice tie, wear a suit, wear a nice dress. You say, oh, when you are wearing nice things, you must be a good person. That's how scammers work. They go and put a nice lady's face on a Facebook profile. And then you, Mr. Man, you start, hello, sweetie. Then they put a nice lady boy there. Hello, Mr. Man, how are you doing? I'm happy to be your friend. And then you two are very happy. It's a boy in Lagos behind the laptop working and deceiving you. Because they know that you like to, we are affected by appearances. They know us through and through. It's not your fault. That's how you are. That's how we are built. Man looks on the outside. And that is why it is necessary. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm going to, myself and some other speakers, I'm going to try and break your mind open over this subject. I'm going to try and deliver you from the mistake of automatically looking at people on the outside. I read something recently. A man, he bought his children a bulldog. Have you seen a bulldog before? A bulldog. They are very ugly. Bulldogs are short, squat, flat face. They are not the nicest dogs you can buy. And they asked him, why buy your children a bulldog? Because there are some nice dogs you can buy. I mean, an Alsatian is a nicer dog. Doberman are nice. They're still defensive, but there are some nicer dogs. And he said, no. I want to show my children something. Do you know what it was? He said, they must learn this. Behind that ugly face is a good heart. Yeah. Behind the ugly face of a bulldog is a good heart. A very loyal, faithful dog. So I want them to learn that. Don't be deceived by appearances. But you must go beyond the surface to see what kind of person am I dealing with. What kind of person is it? Look, Kumasi here. Well, Kumasi, we don't use English much. But don't be deceived by a person's English language or his vocabulary or anything. Loyalty, it is the most important. That's why chapter 4, verse 2, 1 Corinthians, it says, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Forget every other possible thing that attracts you. Forget being impressed by his education or the school he went to. Forget it. Forget thinking that this guy has been to London and back. Or this guy has education. He's a tech graduate. Okay, it's better than Legon. But I'll keep it like that. Because I'm a tech graduate. So I can't say anything. I can't say too much. But they are not correct. I have some of my course mates, they are not correct at all. So there's all the other qualifications that are mentionable. Tell somebody, forget them. And the one thing to look for is the loyalty of the person. And so loyalty is by far the most important qualification you must look for. Amen. Number two is, reason why we need to have loyalty is to fight the fifth column. To fight the fifth column. What is the fifth column? This is from the Spanish Revolution, many, many years ago. I think it's, I forgot the year, either 1920 or 19 something. During one of the early wars, a king was going to war and he was attacking a city. And when he had arranged his army around the city, There were four battalions, each column facing a different wall of the city. And then they were just sitting down there, waiting. And somebody asked him, "You have gone to war. What are you waiting for?" He said, "Oh, my fifth column will fight for me." And the man said, "I see only four columns, one north, one south, one east, one west. And they are the ones lined up. And these four, they're not working. They're just sitting down there waiting and just waiting. And so you see that your fifth column is going to fight for you. Where are the fifth column?" Then he said, "My fifth column are my supporters who are inside the city. They are there. And when they are in place, they will open the gate of the city. Then the other four who are outside looking useless at this time will rush in and take the city." This morning, I want to tell you something. It is very difficult to break a church from the outside. It's almost impossible. That is why even in countries like Russia or China or other places where the church is under attack, it is still growing very strong. The biggest, fastest growing church now is in China. Yeah, is in China. And the weakest church now is maybe in America, where they are more concerned about abortion than saving souls. America used to send missionaries everywhere around the world. Everywhere you go, Baptist assemblies, they are there. Now, where do you see them? They are nowhere, because their leaders are pseudo-Christians. Listen to this. Very early in my ministry, I realized that the devil is an expert at destroying the church from within. From within. The greatest enemy who will fight you in your work to build a church is not outside. What did Rollins say? That's his famous quotation. It's inside you. Is the animal, the mosquito or the mouse or the ant or whatever animal is going to bite you is in your dress somewhere. It's not outside in town. It is with you, by you, practically on your skin. That is the one to be afraid of. And we will have other occasions. But you will see that no enemy says, "I am an enemy." Only in football, I can see that you're wearing red and wearing rainbow jersey. Then I know that I'm has your kotoko. That's the only in football there, we clearly state our stand. Football, basketball, sports there, as we are there, we know against is on this side and then home is on this side. But when it comes to life, you can't tell. Right now, even politics, you can't tell again who is who. People change and go and come and all kinds of things. So the real danger that you have in building a church is from within. It's from within. We are afraid of, maybe we think of witchcraft and other things, fetishes and other things as a very dangerous weapon of the devil to fight us. Tell somebody, no. Those gods are no gods. Amen. I mean, those gods are no gods. Once a young lady came to call me in the night. She called me, come and see something. I'm asking, what is it? She said, come quickly. Come and see something. I'm asking, what is it? She said, come quickly. So in the night, I got into my car and I drove my James Bond driving. You know James Bond driving? We all do some once in a while. When there's no policeman, there's nothing. So I did my James, and I got there very quickly. I got to her house. When I got there, she met me downstairs an apartment. She met me downstairs at the entrance. Then she took my hand. "You're a small girl." She was rather pulling me. I said, "Hey, what crap have you seen that is so dangerous that you are so agitated?" So when I got there, then she showed me her door, their door to her apartment. In front of it, there was blood. Had been scattered, dripping all over the front. She said, look at this. And I said, it's true. It's blood. And he said, it's not paint. It's not paint. It's blood. We can see his blood. Then she was there. They're standing. So I asked her, have you been in? She said, what? To go past into the house? She said, no. Since I came, I've been standing here. I've not gone anywhere into the house. I said, okay. So she asked me, what are we going to do? What solution is there to this thing? I said, don't worry. I have a solution. She said, really? I said, oh, yes. I have a solution. Listen, you have to open the door to your house. So she opened the door. I said, go around the blood. Just go around it. Open the door to your house. Go inside the house. Bring me a bucket of water. Blue Omo and a broom. She wasn't thinking. So she went into the house, brought the bucket of water, blue Omo. In those days, it was blue Omo. I don't know what Omo there is now. And then a broom. Then when she brought it here, I said, let's sweep away the thing. That's all. We just poured the water on the ground and shoo. Everything was gone in 5 seconds. And she asked me, is that all? I said, I finished. That's all. She said, is that all? I said, okay. For your sake, go bring oil. Bring oil. Then I poured oil on the ground. Then we prayed. That's all. That there is no danger from small oil. A chicken. Listen, when they kill the chicken, what should you do? Eat it. When you go to the town, these juju men, they are very wise. They'll say, bring a goat. They are very wise businessmen. Bring a goat. And then bring two goats, one black, one white. But the meat is the same. Yeah, there's no danger from these things. The real danger to a church or a business is that somebody inside your organization is against you. That's the real danger. The most serious case that I'm hearing right now is in Haiti. The whole country is on fire. Riots everywhere. And the most surprising thing that I'm hearing right now, not so surprising, is they've arrested those who killed the president 2 years ago. He was killed in his bedroom, if you remember. If you remember, the Haiti president. 23 armed people rushed into the room and attacked him in his bedroom and killed him in his bedroom. And they've been trying to see who are the ones who are behind it. Last month, they arrested his wife. They arrested his wife as one of the conspirators of the... Tell somebody, be careful who you marry, oh. Hey, be careful who you marry. They're going to lock the door with you and her inside. I have a picture on my... Maybe I'll show it to you in another session of an X-ray. And the X-ray, you see a knife in somebody's back. And then it is there. And my pastor sent it to me. It's his church member who was stabbed in the back by his wife. And I said, so what do you do? He said the knife was there for about 3 hours. They couldn't pull it out. They had to leave it there and go and do surgery. So he was walking around with a knife in his back for about 3 hours. Yeah. And he said the wife was quarreling with him in the bedroom. And when he slept, she came and stabbed him in the back. Tell somebody, be careful who you marry. Because the real enemy is not the watchman. Look, the man outside there with some scars on his face, wearing a hat and wearing smoking. That man is not your enemy. Oh, no. Listen, here in Bantama, We are surrounded by thieves. Pickpocket. Look, in the night, when you are going, don't walk alone. I will advise you. My church is my church. I know my area. Don't walk alone. Find somebody to walk with you. They are around us, but they are not our problem. Recently, Kara, somebody came and told Reverend Albert, don't worry, your people, I know your members. We won't steal from them. No, I won't steal from them. I know your members. It's an assurance. Because there are neighbors here. And we give them water sometimes. They use our toilet sometimes. So we say we coexist. They are not our problem. Our problem is the fifth column, the betrayer, the Judas with you. Around you, by you. That is the real problem. And that is why loyalty is the major, is the most important thing you need to build a church. Forget everything else. You need to have a lot. Jesus was working with his people all the time. It was when Judas arose, John chapter 13, and then he went out, and it was night that the whole thing began. Until then, it was a very nice scene of doing miracles, healing, walk on water, break bread. I mean, from John 1 to John 12, he was doing great things. John 12, he raised up Lazarus from the dead. I mean, powerful, powerful, powerful miracles. John 13, Judas arose. The story has changed. Now, Pharisees are coming to catch Jesus. They are going to lock him. Since one man arose as a traitor in the house. Amen. And so I want us to understand that loyalty is very, very important to fight the fifth column within us. And tell somebody, don't think you are exempted. Hallelujah. You see, let me just, one sec, give me 2 Kings 10. No, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 10. Let me see. No, 2 Kings, not Sheba. It's not the Queen of Sheba. 2 Kings 10. Yes. Verse 18. Good. Give it to me in a... Okay, listen to this. And let's. It's a long passage, but I want you to understand the danger of having a disloyal person by you. If nothing at all, this story will tell you how it is. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. He now called unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, all his priests, let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But look at this. But give me a modern version. But Jehu's cunning plan was to destroy all the worshippers of Baal. Then he ordered a solemn assembly to worship Baal. Prepare a solemn assembly to worship Baal. So they did. He sent messengers throughout all Israel, summoning all those who worship Baal. They all came. Why? The king has said, I'm going to worship Baal. And they filled the temple of Baal from one end to the other. I mean, this is the man who said that, I'm going to do a big feast to which God is there around here. Our fetish up here, whichever God you can imagine. I'm going to all those who worship our God, come and join me. And they fill the temple of Baal from one end to the other. Then he said, be sure that every temple worshiper of Baal wears one of these robes so that they can identify them. I'm giving, like Joseph, I'm giving you my nice coat of many colors. But they were giving them robes for them to be easily identified. 23. Then Jehu went to the temple of Baal with Jonadab, son of Rechab. He said to him, make sure no one is here that worships the Lord. Only the Baal worshippers. I mean, the man is like, I'm here to worship Baal and nobody else should be here. I am for you. You are for Baal. I'm for you. We are together. We are going to have a great feast to Baal. Then 24, they were all inside. Then he stationed 80 men at the building. If anyone escapes, you will pay for it with your life. And then what happened? When he had finished sacrificing, he said, go in and kill all of them. Don't let a single one escape. So they killed them all with their swords. Do you see the power of a pretender? He is by you, but he's actually planning your downfall. is with you in your meetings, standing by you as you do all your programs. But his real aim is how to bring you down. How to undo whatever is happening. That is the disloyal person by you. Amen. How many want such a person by you? No, nowhere, not even close. I mean, he shouldn't come anywhere at all near us. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to a while ago, there was an interview of a man on television. And they were just asking him, and somebody asked him, what do you think about loyalty? He said, oh, loyalty is not necessary. Oh, so it's just something which people use to control other people, but it's not necessary at all. You just don't need loyalty. You can just be there and do all you are doing. Then they ask him, how many branches do you have? Do you know what he said? None. None. I'm in one church alone. He said, that's why. When you are in one church alone, you don't have branches. You don't see the importance of loyalty. Because the reason number three is to have a large and successful ministry team. The only way a church can expand into branches is by having loyal people at those places. And anybody who has tried to plant churches will know that without a loyal person there, forget it. The branch you are planting, after 2 years, is whose branch? It's whose branch? It's for the person. Change the ownership. Just change the name from Lighthouse to House Light. That's all. And then just change. And the thing is, they never change it very big. Just a small change, because that's all they know. This, all they know is what they learn from you. So when they change, it's only a slight change, the same color, yellow and black. Now it's black and yellow. Then they add some green stripe to it. Then house light to light house. All they know is what you have taught them. It is not possible to expand very much without a loyal team. Amen. And that is why we are here this morning. I have another speaker coming soon. And then I have a third speaker. This morning we have different speakers. We'll be speaking short messages, because I need you to understand one point at a time. And the first point is this, that we need to have loyalty around us. Without it, forget it. No matter, I mean, even if you are building a business, not only a church, even a business, and there's no loyalty, tell the person, forget it. I was reading recently about the American supermarkets, and they are being shut down. And do you know why? Shoplifting. Stealing of goods from the shop. That is the biggest problem. People taking things from the shop, taking things from us. That is the... Look, the most dangerous person in your house is the house girl who doesn't like you. Oh, yes. It's the house girl who doesn't like you. That person is the most dangerous. Who can reach your soup? I mean, who can put her finger into your soup? You don't like what I'm saying? Yeah. No. Who can, as you are making tea, who can add something to that? It's not the man on the street. It is the person in your house. Amen. I want us to be so sure that we need loyalty. That is all I'm looking for. So sure that this thing, I can't do without it. One day, I was talking to a friend, and he said, something has happened in his house. And I asked him, what? He said, look, my child was always falling sick. I mean, various sicknesses. They couldn't tell exactly what it was. So that was happening. Then his wife said one day she was at home. Then something told her, go to the kitchen. Then she got up and went to the kitchen. When she went to the kitchen, she saw the house girl was there frying plantain, which is a normal thing we do. So she asked herself, why did the Holy Spirit ask me to come to the kitchen? What am I coming to do here? So she was in the kitchen looking around. I mean, she's like, there's nothing amiss, nothing out of place in the kitchen. So what should I do? Okay, so she turned and she was going. Then the Spirit told her, you don't have plantain, you don't have palm oil. You don't have palm oil. It's finished. They said, yeah, it's true. I remember because she came to buy some, she came to fry something herself recently and there was none. She hasn't bought any. So she went back and then she asked the house girl, oh, the plantain, where did you get the palm oil from? She said, oh, there was a little in the container. She said, no, there was none. I remember myself. Please welcome the convener. I remember I did it myself. There's no palm oil in the house. Where do you get it from? She said, oh, no. There was a little in the container. She said, no, there was none. I know because I checked myself. So they went back and forth for a while. Then she came to look at the palm oil well. It looked very strange. It was like a mixture of something. So she called the girl, what is this that you have fried the plantain in? What is this? And they were going back and forth. Then, you know, after a while, the girl said, it's blood. It's blood. That's all. I mean, what do you mean it's blood? Oh, it's fried all in blood. And she's frying the plantain in the blood for the children. And that she has witchcraft that she's passing on to the girl. The girl is refusing. But I'm forcing her to take it. And this is one more. Tell somebody, who is the house girl in your house? And then ask him right now, in your office, who makes tea for you to drink? No. I don't mind me. Yeah. And then ask her, ask the person by you. So do you eat in your office? Do you buy plantain and fried plantain in your office? Do you buy wachi with coat? The coat, what skin is it? What animal coat are they giving you? Are you with me? Yeah. And then they are giving you so many different things. What are those things you are getting? Wow. Amen. What are those things you are getting? Listen, you need loyalty. Above everything else. Yes. Above everything else. Bishop says it, that many of his pastors and his bishops are not very talented, which is us. He says they are not very gifted. Yeah, they are not very eloquent. They are not, it's also me and you. The three of us, is us he's talking about.
That's right.
They are not very gifted, not very eloquent, not very capable, but they are very loyal. And that is how come today, the Lighthouse Chapel group of churches, we have about 4,000 branches. Hallelujah. That's how we got there.
Hallelujah.
That's how come as we are here, he has churches in 94 countries. Mm. Even you, Tanosu, you can't put a branch there because they will wrangleize you and take the money away. As we are here, we have so many branches all over the country because he has invested in creating a family of loyal people.
Amen.
They don't just come. No. We are not born loyal. We can see it from our brothers who have left us and gone. We can see it. It is a process of by teaching and by example. And that is why we are here for these 4 days. I'm glad you're here this morning.
Amen.
For this session. I'm glad you are here. This is just the beginning of what is ahead of us.
Hallelujah.
But this is what we are trying to do. Understand the importance of loyalty.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you must seek it. Don't just say, if it comes. It will not come. No. Good things are really forced on you. It's the bad things that are forced on you.
Yeah.
Your good friend will really force you with the Bible. But your friends who have beer and we, they will say, try. One of my friends said that he's a senior at school, tried power to make him smoke weed. Hey, I mean, he said everywhere, he said, let's start, try one, pull one. He said they chased him out to make one puff of the weed. It's not the case. It's a project to make him smoke. But to make him go to SU, no, they don't do those things. I want us to have a very strong desire and commitment. I need loyalty.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I need it. And I want us to be mindful of it. Don't let it be a side issue.
Amen.
Or something which is just lying down there by the side. No. It must be uppermost on your mind.
Amen.
Because as I'm building my church, if that thing is not there, as I build two, I may lose three.
Yeah.
As I go forward, when I look behind me, nothing is there. The saddest story I heard, this one is the champion, the mother of all stories. The champion story that I've heard about Oranguism is the pastor of a church. The church was 3,000. 3,000, I'm jealous. Hey, 3,000 people is my whole council. 3,000. And the pastor had 3,000 people in his church. And what happened was, he went on holiday. Yeah. Holidays. Take a holiday. Tomorrow is 6th March. It's a holiday. So we need holiday. He went on a 6-week holiday. It's long, boom. But he had worked very hard to build 3,000 church. He needs a holiday. So he went on a holiday for 6 weeks. I don't know where he went. He went to Las Palmas. He went to Seychelles. I don't know where he went, but he went for a holiday 6 weeks. When he came back from the holiday and he landed at the airport, then he went to the church. He was there. Then the first thing was his assistant came to him. I have to say something. I'm resigning. Oh, you are resigning. On the day I arrived for my holiday 6 weeks, he said, yes, God has spoken to me. I have to leave and go. You see, that thing, God has spoken to me. Am I higher than God? We are stuck. We can't say anything else. We have to agree. If God has spoken to you, who be I? You must go your way and follow. So they talked back and forth. The guy said, no, I have to go. God has spoken to me. So the senior pastor had to agree for the assistant to leave him after he came back from his holiday. Will you believe it? The church of 3,000, it reduced to 19. 19. And the 19 was his wife, his children, and the house help. And the 19 left was nobody. And he was asking, how can a person steal 3,000 people? That's what it is. 3,000 people stolen in 6 weeks by a betrayer by your side. Who, when you are out of hearing, out of reach, he was saying things in the ears of your members. There are many things we'll talk about the test of loyalty, distance, time, and fire. There are so many things I want to introduce to you these 4 days. So many things. We will not finish, but I want you to have a desire that, listen, this thing, this man, what he's talking about, I hadn't thought about it, but I think I need it. I think I need it. I think I cannot build. You are building a church. Say, you don't have a loyal person around you. Oh, resign and go and sit down and go and sell coconuts. It's safer. Now, when you need yourself, the money comes to yourself. But if you are building anything of substance, it's to be an uphill task. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The most important quality that you need to have is loyalty. To fight the fifth column, to fight the betrayer around you. And if you don't have it, we are going to be building just to break it. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together. I want us to take a short. Our next speaker is here. You see, every session, you must take one thing away and run with it.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's very key.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that we are here for a purpose. And it is to understand what it means to be loyal and what it means to be able to build something that will land, that will last and stand the test of time. Hallelujah. We are not taking, we just started. We are all very fresh. Are you not very fresh?
Very fresh.
Are you not very happy?
Very happy.
Are you not excited? Excited. How many are afraid now of their house help? How many are wondering, what have I gotten into? I will tell you something also free of charge. In the book How to Plant a Church, How to Build a Church, Prophet makes a very important declaration. It is this: in the beginning stages of a church, don't quickly appoint people to positions. You see, we don't have time. Okay, we'll have to spread out very soon. More and more are coming. We don't have time to explain everything. So when you have a statement like this, take it and run. At the beginning of a church, do not quickly and speedily appoint people to positions because you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And one other thing too that is there is we have people who are perfect pretenders. I mean, that's how you marry them. And they will come and stab you in the back in the night. I'll find a picture and I'll give it to them to display it during the next break. The knife in the back. But we have perfect pretenders who will be able to be by your side and flourish for a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful. Put your hands together.
Hallelujah.
How many have understood the importance of having loyalty around you?
Yes.
Maybe before now you hadn't thought about it, but that is the key thing I want us to have.